Holy Spirit. And today there are many different speculations on who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit is, and all these different aspects of the Holy Spirit. So this morning I just want to discuss all his different nature, or a few of his different natures and aspects, because there's a lot to the Holy Spirit. There's the who he is, there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the gift, singular, of the Holy Spirit. So there's quite a bit to talk about, so we're not going to be able to get all of this in one Bible class, but we should be able to get through a good chunk. And like I said earlier, there's many different speculations out there and many different false teachings on the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to discuss the truth about the Holy Spirit. We're going to go through the Word of God, see what the Bible has to say about it. Now, real quick, just a question for everybody. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's not a trick question. Anybody? Yep, right there. That's what I was looking for. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. He is God. What you'll see a lot is that people will view the Holy Spirit as some kind of force. Like if you watch Star Wars, the Force be with you, they kind of think of the Holy Spirit like that. You know, he doesn't actually think, he's not actually a person, and that he's just a force that acts off instinct or something like that. But we see that the Holy Spirit is God. He is an individual of the Godhead, and he is a person. And when I say person, I mean that he, not a fleshy person, but something that's capable of thought, emotions, and things like that. If you turn over to John 16, 13 through 14, again, that's John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whoever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." So all throughout this passage, we see that the scripture is referring to the Holy Spirit as he. It doesn't say it or that or anything like that. It says he. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is a person, an individual being. And we see that the Holy Spirit even has many different emotions and reactions. One is that he can be grieved. He can grieve the Holy Spirit. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So we see here the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Another thing that we see is that the Holy Spirit can be lied to. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit will see through these lies. You can't fool the Holy Spirit, but you can lie to the Holy Spirit. If you look in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Again, that's Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?'" So here we see, this is earlier we saw Barnabas, he sold his property to help the saints in need. And Ananias and Sapphira, they saw Barnabas do that, and they wanted to do that. So they sold their property, and they said that they had given everything to the saints in need, but they had ended up keeping back a portion of that property, and they lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit. So we see here that we can, in fact, lie to the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit was some kind of force, just some kind of act of nature, then you really can't lie to it. There's nothing to lie to, but we see here you can lie to the Holy Spirit. And another thing we see is that the Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. You look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Again, that's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. It says, "Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven." So we see here that you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And again, you can't do that to some kind of force. You can't do that to some kind of inanimate object. But you can do it to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is an individual. It's a person capable of thoughts and emotions. Now, a question that's commonly brought up here in this verse is, are you telling me that even though Christ died for all sin, the blaspheme against the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven, so I can do something and never be forgiven of it? That's a common question that's brought up. But you have to know what the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is. Something we have to know is that the Holy Spirit is the revelator of God's word. So when it says blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that basically means we're rejecting God's word, that we want nothing to do with God's word. That's why you can't be forgiven of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because you've never obeyed the word of God. You've never actually accepted the word of God, and you just reject it till the day you pass. So that is what the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is. And as we're going through this, if you have any questions or comments, just feel free to interject. And another thing we see all throughout the Bible is that the Holy Spirit has several different mental traits. One is that he knows things. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 10. It says, "But to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. That means he knows everything, even the depths of God. Another aspect that we see is that the Holy Spirit can think. You look in Acts 15, verse 28. And again, that's Acts chapter 15, verse 28. It says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials." So we see here that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was able to judge that this was good, then that means he has the ability to think. So we see that the Holy Spirit knows and the Holy Spirit thinks. Another thing we see is that the Holy Spirit loves. Romans 15:30. Again, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. It says, "Now I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So we see here, "and by the love of the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit can love. Another thing that we see from the Holy Spirit is that he speaks. In 1 Timothy 4:1. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." So it says here, "but the Spirit explicitly says." So we've seen several different mental traits and different reactions from the Holy Spirit. We saw that he can be grieved, that he can be lied to, that he can be blasphemed, that he knows things, that he thinks things, that he loves, and that he speaks. These are all different aspects that could only belong to a person. And again, not a fleshy person, but just an individual that is capable of these things.
Right. And just real quick, you know, again, we might know that who the Holy Spirit is. We might know that Holy Spirit is God and that he has all these different traits, emotions, and reactions. But again, there's, like Dawson said in the beginning, there's actual people out there who believe that the Holy Spirit is not God, that believe that the Holy Spirit is able to, and Dawson will get into this later, but he's able to take over your body, control you, that the Holy Spirit is not an actual thing. So again, these are verses, we might understand this, but these are just verses showing. So if we meet somebody, let's say, who believes in those things, we can show them these verses and show them examples in the Bible showing that the Holy Spirit is in fact God and that the Holy Spirit is in fact an actual person. So again, this is just really good for those who may not know, who may not understand the Holy Spirit or be confused about this topic.
Right. That's a really great point, because as I said earlier, there's a lot of different false beliefs on what the Holy Spirit is and on what the Holy Spirit does. So it's just important for us to know these things about the Holy Spirit, so that way, if we come across it at some point in our life, we can fight against that. So we've covered how the Holy Spirit is a person. So now let's look at some verses on how the Holy Spirit is God, how he's a part of that Godhead. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Again, it's Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So we read this earlier to show that the Holy Spirit can lie. Now I want to skip down to the end of verse 4, the very end of verse 4. It says, you have not lied to men, but to God. So earlier it refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of verse 4, it refers to the Holy Spirit as God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And he has all the different aspects of God, one being that he is eternal in nature. You turn over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. It says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So we see here, it says, it refers to the Holy Spirit as the eternal Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is eternal in nature, no beginning and no end. And that's one of the aspects of God. Another aspect that we see is he is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere all at once. We'll go back to Psalms. We'll look at Psalm 139. Again, that's Psalm 139. It's verses 7 through 10. It says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I lift up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will bruise me, and the light around me will be night. So we see here, no matter where we go, whether it be the most remote part of the sea, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is there. He is everywhere all at once. And that even, I really like that point, because a lot of people will try to hide from the world and do sin in the darkness, and they'll try to hide, and they'll be like, I'm good, nobody can see me, you know, nobody's ever going to find out. Well, the problem is, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So God will always know about those secret sins that people will try to do and that people will try to hide. So that's a point that I just wanted to bring up real quick. Another aspect of God is he's omniscient. He knows all things. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. But to us God revealed them through the Spirit, For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So we read this earlier. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit has all knowledge. If you keep on reading verse 11, it says, "For who among men knows the depths of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the depths of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." So we see here the Holy Spirit is all known. And the Holy Spirit is also omnipotent, meaning he's all powerful. If you look in, going back to Psalm 104, in verse 30, says, "You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." So we see here that the Holy Spirit is the creator. He's a part of God. He is the creator. And we see this in Genesis 1:1, going all the way back to Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we've already established that the Holy Spirit is a part of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. We see here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator. God is all powerful, and the Holy Spirit is included in that. If you look in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." We see God said, "Let us make man in our image." So there has to be multiple persons to God. And we just said that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's several instances in the Bible where we can see all three persons of the Godhead present at once. One example of this is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Again, that's Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And behold, there was a voice out of the heavens saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So in these two verses, we see God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. One thing that's a common belief out there is that God is one person, but just three different personalities, and that he'll switch through the personalities. And this is an actual belief that's being taught out there. But we see from this verse and many others that God is three individuals making up God. Another verse that we see is Matthew 28, verse 19. Again, that's Matthew 28, and verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So again, we see all three persons of the Godhead. Another verse, Romans 15:30. Look over in Romans 15:30. It says, now I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So again, we see all three persons of the Godhead here. Another example is 2 Corinthians 13:14. There's also Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, and there's several other verses in the Bible that we see showing all three persons of the Godhead. Does anybody have any questions or comments so far? We're good? All right.
When the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit, it's capitalized, right?
Yes.
And the reason why I ask is because in my retired job, we sometimes had discussions about this stuff. And I remember, I guess it was last summer, they were asking me a little bit about that. So, anyway.
Right.
The Holy Spirit, they were asking about. Not if it's capitalized. But
okay.
If you see God in the Bible, or Him, or He, it's capitalized. And when you see Holy Spirit, it's capitalized. So,
right.
As well as Jesus, too.
Right, right. Because the first off, it's a name. So you have to capitalize it, and it's not just any name, it's God's name. So of course, you want to make sure that's capitalized. But as he was saying earlier, he talks about it where did he talk about it?
In retired jobs.
Retired jobs.
Yeah.
Okay, So there's going to come a time when we might have to talk about this as well, just to whoever, and that whoever may have been fed a lot of false teaching on the Holy Spirit. So again, it's just important for us to know about the Holy Spirit.
They were being inquisitive, asking about it. Like,
right. Right. Which
I was somewhat trying to explain it. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. it can be a difficult subject to wrap your mind around, definitely. So we're going to move on to...
Just real quick, going back to what you said about misconceptions with the Godhead, and how people tend to get confused with how there's three individuals, one God. Some things you can use as an example was, for instance, one man, one woman, one flesh. That's how God views marriage. So one man, you have one man, one woman, and they become one. And same thing with the church. You have one body, and then you have multiple individuals, us, that make up that one body. And so again, those same things work the same way with the Godhead. You have one God, three different individuals that make up God. That being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So again, just to, if you run into somebody who gets confused by that, you can explain it to them like that.
Right. That's a really good point, because that's another thing that a lot of people kind of get confused about is, well, how can there be three persons but one God? Well, as Sean just said, one man, one woman, one flesh. Then there's the church, the body, the one body. It's one body, but it has many different members, which is me and all of you and everybody else who's a Christian, a faithful Christian. So that's just one way you can explain that. Now with the time left that we have, we'll go over the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the gifts, that's knowledge, wisdom, the tongue speaking, which we do not have today, but it's a gift, singular, which we have today. And this gift is introduced to us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says, "And Peter said to them, Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So what is this gift? Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit is salvation. It's our one-way ticket to heaven. And as we see in this verse, you have to be baptized to receive that gift. So we see that baptism is an essential part of salvation. A lot of people will try and teach otherwise, that you don't have to be baptized, or that a baptism is just a outward sign of inward grace, and then you don't actually need it to be saved. But we see here that if you want the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is salvation, you have to be baptized. So, what exactly, or actually, it's a gift of God, God the Father as well. It's also a gift of God the Father. If you look in John 3:16, again, it's John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So we see here that God, he gave his only Son, Jesus, to come down onto earth so that he might shed his blood, die on the cross for us, for our sins. So it is a gift of God the Father as well. Another verse that we see is in John 4. John chapter 4 and verse 10. As Jesus answered and John said 3. To her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is, the ruler of the Jews, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So we see that salvation is also a gift of God. And not only is it a gift of God the Father, but it's also a gift of God the Son, Jesus. You look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, it's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." So we see here that we get grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. That grace there being of forgiveness of your sins and then salvation, if you follow the word of God. So we see that salvation is also a gift of Christ. And then going back to Acts 2:38, we see that it's also a gift of the Holy Spirit. So salvation, all three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they all have their own role in salvation. they have different roles, but the same goal, and that's something we actually see in several other aspects of the Godhead, that they all work together, work in tandem. So we've seen that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's capable of thought. He's capable of loving. He knows things, that he can be blasphemed, that he's definitely not just some kind of force that a lot of people will imagine him as, but he's an actual person that is a part of the Godhead. So he is God, and we see that they have a part in our salvation. God has a part in our salvation, and that if we want that salvation, if we want that gift, then we have to be baptized into the one body, and we have to remain faithful to that one body so that we're not divided, which I'll actually be talking about in the lesson later. But we have to be a part of that body if we want that gift. If we want salvation, we have to be faithful to the Word, to the Bible. So we're just about out of time here, so I'll leave us off with that. Thank you guys so much for just being here and allowing me and Sean to have this opportunity.